This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you're in our audience, that you've tuned us in, and we trust that something that we say will be a help and a blessing to you. Again, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and my website address at the close of the program. We'd be happy to take prayer requests or comments on the program, and you can re-listen to this program on the website, as well as read a weekly meditation that I put there. So if you need those addresses, I'll give them to you at the close of the program. Now, we've been looking at personalities in the Old Testament in particular. We're going to look at some in the New Testament, but we would call them Old Testament worthies. And we have come to Daniel. Daniel is an interesting personality, and we have a lot said about him, quite a good biography of him. And so as we look at Daniel, he is the person, the one person in the Old Testament that I would say our young people could afford to emulate, that is, imitate. It's possible that they could imitate Joseph, who led the who was the savior of Israel while they were in Egypt. He was the one who had the dreams, the child, the one of the sons of Jacob that were detested by the other sons because he seemed to have a preferred position with his father. And yet, in my mind, the best model for behavior, particularly in our day, would be found in Daniel. He was in captivity in a strange land. And in a sense, we're in captivity in a strange land. Now, the same could be said of Joseph as well. But how do you behave yourself when you are in captivity in a strange land? And we'll see that in Daniel's case, the first thing he did is he purposed in his heart. And we read that in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, it wasn't that he was trying to avoid wine per se. It wasn't that he was trying to avoid the king's delicacies per se, but he was trying to avoid any association with the idols that the king worshipped. The king was a pagan king, and he worshipped the pagan idols, and they offered food to the idols, and then ultimately it was eaten by the people after it had been offered to the idols. And Daniel was trying to maintain a distance from anything that smacked of worship of those idols because he was a worshiper of the living and true God. And so he was willing to forego the king's delicacies. He was willing to forego the king's wine in order that he might be different and might maintain a holy status from the standpoint of being faithful to the Lord in this land of Babylon, which represents religious confusion. You'll remember that that's where, in Genesis 11, all of the languages were confounded because they were trying to approach God their own way rather than approaching God according to the plan that God had for them. So he purposed in his heart. And I believe that's always important in our relationship with God. Some people think that purposing in your heart is all that we have to do. But no, once we purpose in our heart, we set the plan of God in motion in our lives. And we have to then be willing to be obedient to the Lord as that plan begins to unfold. And one of the things we'll notice with Daniel was that he was a man of prayer. So he not only purposed, he prayed. We find out in Daniel chapter 3, when the king sets up, has this vision, and he intends to have the wise men, actually the magicians and the Chaldeans, explain this vision to him. And in order to see if they really can do that, he won't tell them the vision. He asked them to tell him what he had dreamed and then give him the interpretation. When he finds out that these magicians and astrologers are all fakes, he is about to kill the wise men in Babylon. Daniel's amongst them, but Daniel goes to his three friends, and he and his three friends sought mercy from God regarding the king's dream. They prayed. And then you'll find out later on that in another one of the, when Darius comes to power, he is deceived into telling the people that they can't petition any god or anybody else but him for 30 days. And Daniel does not see Darius, the king, as a god. And he continues to pray three times daily to the Lord. So it says in Daniel 6, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before God, as was his custom since early days. And so we find out that he prayed, and we know that ultimately he was thrown into a pit of lions. Lions were in that pit, and the Lord preserved him in the lion, in the pit of the lions. And those men who actually threw him in to the lion's pit ultimately themselves were, or those who deceived Darius into throwing Daniel into the lion's den, ultimately themselves were cast into that lion's den and were killed there. So Daniel prayed, and God answered those prayers, and then we find out that Daniel prospered. So when we come to Daniel 6 and verse 28, this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now, when we look at him prospering, it's interesting that I look at Daniel much like I would look at our young people today who go to secular colleges. The secular colleges are going to try to convert them into the kind of wise men that secular colleges think makes wise men. They're going to try to convince them that there's no God, that there's many different religions, and they all lead to the same place, and they're going to teach evolution. That is, they're going to teach godless change as a way of promoting their science. And while they do that, they're trying to make they're trying to disturb faith in the living God on the part of our young people. But in Daniel's case, instead of going to Babylon and getting enrolled in the colleges of the Chaldeans, which should have made a magician out of him, should have taught him all of the things that the magicians knew. And frankly, I think he was taught all the things the magicians knew while remaining faithful to what he believed about God. Instead of that, he himself changes the Chaldeans. And the reason I know that he does that, he has an influence on them, because when we come to Matthew's gospel, we find out in Matthew 2, verse 1 and 2, that it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And I believe that those are wise men that had been taught originally by Daniel and had passed Daniel's teachings on down. And wise men from Iraq, which is where Babylon is, wise men from Iraq, that place of religious confusion, were looking for the Messiah. And the Jews, who should have been looking for the Messiah as a nation, were not. And so those wise men, I believe, had been taught the prophecies of Scripture. Daniel, in Daniel 9, makes it clear that there's coming a day when the Messiah is coming, and then he's going to be cut off, and then there's going to be a period of time after which there's going to be a righteous kingdom established, and so on. It's all given to us in Daniel 9. And closer views of history are given with regard to the rise of not only Babylon, but ultimately of other powers in the Middle East. Greece is going to come to power, and after Greece, Rome is going to come to power, and then there's going to be a ferocious beast come to power, and that's probably coming to pass now, which will have its roots in the old Roman Empire. So Daniel taught them, and they were looking for the Messiah. They had seen his star in the east. I know that often at Christmas time we worship an eastern star, but I think that you've got to look at the King James Version and the other versions and recognize that these men were in the east. And it was while they were in the east that they saw his star. Now, if they had been looking at an eastern star and following that eastern star, they would have ended up over in China. But instead, they ended up in the promised land in Israel. So they were going west, not east. And so they saw this star. While they were in the east, the star was in the west. But they were looking for that. And that's what encourages me. Today, we who are saved live in a country, you might say, that is a foreign land for us. It's ruled by the prince and the power of the air. It has attitudes and values that we don't understand as Christians, and we're to remain distinct and faithful to the Lord in this foreign land because our citizenship is in heaven. We aren't going to change the people in this foreign land except as we present to them the truth of Scripture and as the Holy Spirit uses it to convince them and to convert them. And apparently, wise men from the east were converted in Daniel's day. Daniel and his three friends came as young men into Babylon, and as young men, they were faithful to the Lord. They did not defile themselves with the king's meat. They did not allow the teaching of Babylon to influence their thinking. Instead, they remained faithful to the simple truth that there's a God in heaven who made us, and there's a God in heaven who loves us, and he gave his son to die for our sins, and for Daniel, that was in the future, but for us, it's in the past. And we need to remain faithful to the truth that Christ did indeed die for the Scripture. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We need to be faithful and set apart for the Lord's use in this foreign land that we live in. And so, of course, that all starts with having a day when we really come to trust in the Lord Jesus. We aren't told in Daniel's case when that occurred. But by the time he had been brought into Babylon, he was already determined to serve the Lord and not to serve the religious system there in that foreign land. And so Daniel was one who purposed in his heart. We need to purpose in our hearts that we're going to remain faithful to the Lord if we're saved. And if we're not saved, we need to purpose in our hearts that we're going to get this matter of our soul salvation settled so that we can be right with God. Because as I've often said, we're not ready to live until we're ready to die. So he purposed, and then he prayed, and then he prospered. He did not himself get elected to a public office, but he was the right-hand man of those who were put in power, and he was used of God to bless the Jews and to teach the truth of the coming Messiah. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do pray for thy blessing upon those who have listened today. We pray for thy blessing upon the program, and we just thank thee for thy love in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.